Time now for hour number one, because after all, the future is now.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, it's Dr. and Mrs. Future, actually. Hey, Mrs. Future.
Hi, honey.
And Billy, you may have been ahead of us earlier, but you're behind us now.
He rushed to the future.
He did.
And
he's
got
in the
there
now.
First.
It's all happening now.
The now, from my point of view, the now is a very long time.
Yeah.
Started at the Big Bang.
The long now.
Keeps going into the tips of our future imagination. So the future is now.
So how about that earthquake last week?
You mean those hundreds or thousands of earthquakes?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Little concerning.
Lucky for us, it wasn't in our area.
Right.
This
Boy.
Beautiful sunny day did not impact our weekend. However, it's definitely a sign that something's going on. Now, what's interesting about this, and to put your mind at rest, is that there does not seem to be any evidence that those earthquakes could trigger a volcanic eruption.
Oh, good. I wasn't actually worried about that.
I'm so glad
that you're reassuring me now so I can think about it.
Well, you have to understand, those quakes are in what's called the Kazo volcanic field.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay, there's actual
zone. I guess that's a good thing to know,
California,
that there
will
be an earthquake eruption.
Yes, and the U.S. Geological Survey folks thinks that we're okay, even though there have been earthquake swarms there and tremors and serious earthquakes. The Kazo field is located east of the Sierra Nevada Mountains in the northern portion of the Mojave Desert. It's about 100 miles northeast of Bakersfield and about 200 miles north of L.A. Right now, they've been experiencing about 30 earthquakes an hour.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
Wow.
It goes on. It's small, between 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
They're still on alert, but no ground deformation indicative of volcanic activity has been detected.
Okay. No big eruptions, just a lot of rock, rattle, and roll.
We have a place called the California Volcano Observatory, and they'll continue to monitor the situation for any volcanic activity and will let us know. That's good. And what's also good to know is that this area is within the Naval Air Weapons Station at China Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully earthquakes won't affect what they have there. And that the field itself, the volcanic field, has lava domes and flows and cinder cones, but nothing has erupted in that zone for 250,000 years. So it would have to really be a big earthquake to wake that up. So if you hear about potential earthquakes, don't worry. It's probably not going to happen.
Mm.
Just 1,400 aftershocks or so.
Right. We're in the future.
Yeah.
Those eruptions already happened.
Yes. So wanted to pass that on. Also wanted to mention that the second hour, we actually have two Institute of Noetic Sciences scientists.
Ooh, that'll
here.
Be fun.
And we'll be exploring the realm of human potential, real research, and what's going on in that arena to see what really is possible. What kind of abilities do we have beyond our normal five senses that can be scientifically shown to exist?
That's right. The science at the edge of knowledge. How do we know what we know? It's noetic science.
So that'll be coming up after 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the news this week, in the outer space world, LightSail 2 sent back their first pictures.
The Planetary Society.
Yes.
All right, LightSail 2.
This is citizen science.
Solar-powered satellite launched a few months ago.
At its finest. It was just launched a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
The Falcon 9.
I meant weeks.
Okay, Mrs. Future. No problem. They designed it a few months ago.
My months fly by really fast.
Yeah, they do. Time is now. Well, they deployed the CubeSat's solar panels Friday night. Mission Control, of all places, is at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm. How about that? Now, that is the headquarters for CubeSat research. Mm-hmm. That's for the little citizen science CubeSats, little tiny weeny satellites that you can do your own project and send it into orbit and study the Earth from that point of view.
Okay, if you're a citizen science scientist, if you can get $100,000 or so dollars to get some cargo space on one of the various flights going up.
So this idea that the light sail solves could be very helpful to satellites, because what it does is that instead of needing gas to move around, most satellites need to adjust their orbit every so often, or they fall out of it, or they need to go to a higher orbit and that sort of thing. And it's expensive to send up a bunch of gas with them, which they use like an aerosol. You know, you've seen those in the movies.
Right.
Little squirts here and there.
They run out. It weighs a lot.
Not good. Yeah, and they run out. Right, exactly. So LightSail tries to solve that problem by using photons from the sun to propel the craft.
Brilliant. Yes. Because we know that the sun is going to be there. They're not going to run out of sunshine.
Yeah, exactly. However, it goes really slow. You know, it's not exactly. It's kind of like sailboats compared to motorboats. It's
very slow. Well, we're talking about very slow. Yeah. Are we talking about 10,000 miles an hour? When you're up there in those orbits.
Well, you are going 18,000 miles an hour or so already.
Oh, and that's really slow, huh?
Well,
it's all relative.
Relative, yeah. Relative to the 18,000. You know, it's like you're moving around at 1,000 miles an hour right now.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah, so are you moving slow?
Right. This reminds me, I did a master class with the
classes.
And, of course, I'm a huge fan of Chris Hadfield, who...
The Canadian astronaut.
The Canadian astronaut from the International Space Agency, who first crossed my radar when he did Ground Control to Major Tom.
Sang that.
Cover on orbit. His last day before he left the space station.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So brilliant. So he has this great master class. And one of the things he teaches is how crazy it is to understand orbitals. Orbital navigation.
Orbital mechanics.
Yeah, orbital mechanics. Because when you want to stay in orbit, if you go to a higher orbit, you have to go faster. And if you go to a lower orbit, you have to go slower to maintain.
It's kind of counterintuitive.
But he explains it very, very well. So anyway, if you want to know more about astronaut kinds of perspectives on how things work, I highly recommend the master class by Chris Hadfield.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you know who was one of the first experts that was actually in orbit, that was into orbital mechanics?
Who?
Buzz.
Buzz
Aldrin.
Because
he did a whole study on that when he was at MIT. Based on his Korean War dogfight experiences and being relative to other aircraft and stuff like that. He was able to translate that knowledge into orbital mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
All right. Well.
All right. More after the break.
Dogfights we trust.
It began with a dogfight and evolved from there.
Okay, Dr. Future and I will be back in a few. In the future.
Here's what you might get on a show with no name.
Apparently, workplace burnout has become such a serious health issue, it's now being reclassified by the World Health Organization. Burnout is now officially listed not as a medical condition, but instead as an occupational syndrome, that people get burned out at work.
I know that's true, man. I get burned out all the time.
No, that's not what we're talking about. The different kind of burned out.
Oh.
You want to know how old Billy is? I'm so old that when somebody says burnout, I'm going to go out to my car and step on the gas.
Yeah. Burnouts and wheelies, they were, they were great in the old days.
Are you suffering from burnout? Oh, and by the way, I'm not talking about myself. In any capacity at all.
I've been meaning to mention that little tick that you have.
Don't miss a show with no name with Bill and Sam, Thursdays, 2 o'clock on KSCO.
That was funny, you guys. Show with no name.
I've been to Santa Cruz on a horse with no name. Sorry.
It's okay.
You know, this is the singing talk show station, right?
That's right. If you don't call in, you have to hear us sing. MZ started it. I'm not sure I want to do that, though, Mrs. Future. I think maybe you do.
No, not really.
Okay.
I just like the song.
Yeah, it's a good song. Okay, back to the news. In outer space news, India is going to attempt their next mission to the moon. They've had two missions. This is the second one.
Yes. I remember the last time they launched, I think they named their rocket after their, we have the man in the moon in the Western world. Well, they have the rabbit in the moon.
And I thought that was the Chinese.
Oh, did I blow it again?
Never mind. Who was that character on Saturday Night Live? Rosanna Dana? Yeah. You're very endearing, Mrs. Future. Oh. Time-wise,
so
but I think the idea is...
So you don't think Chandrayaan is the name
no,
of the
No, I think you're thinking of the Jade Rabbit, the Jade... You
the
know.
Jade Rabbit.
Yeah, which
right.
is a Chinese
right.
ship. Yeah,
I really should Google yeah. these things before the show.
India,
it's
China.
So much less embarrassing.
They're neighbors. There's India, the Chandrayaan 2 mission. It's a bid to become the fourth nation to successfully reach the lunar surface. The Israeli ship successfully reached the surface a couple months ago, but in a million pieces, it reached the surface level.
They might get the award for being the first space trash. On the moon.
Something might be salvageable. You never know.
Although I understand that they left some space trash from the Apollo
missions. Oh, yeah. They left bags of poop. I mean, they didn't leave much out on the Apollo mission. They had everything.
All right. So anyway, so Israel, the Bereshit mission did get to the moon, but instead of landing, it blew it. But we have articles about
the future
of that.
We have another one. That technology was not in vain. That there's a company that's picking up the mantle from Bereshit and moving forward with it. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Uh-huh. But in the Indian mission, which will be launching next week.
Chandrayaan.
Yes, it'll be launching next week from their Indian Space Center, Sriharikota at 2:51 a.m. on July 15th. And it will land between two craters on September 6th. That's when its mission begins. So it takes that long from now to September to get there.
It's going to circle the Earth a bunch of times, getting farther and farther from the Earth and closer to the moon.
And you notice the Chinese also sent a mission to the South Pole. I mean, the South Pole is really getting a lot of attention right now.
Because?
Well, what they tell us is that, A, there might be water there. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a moon base, you need water to make stuff and clean stuff and build things and create fuel and food. So water is a really useful molecule. And it looks like there might be a bunch of it there. They're going to look in the permanently shadowed areas between the two craters. There's a whole bunch of little...
I am definitely not going to the moon until I can take a shower there.
Okay, well, they might have to melt it. They might find it in a solid form there. Mm-hmm. And they're also looking at the craters because there was obviously a huge impact there, big crater, the South Pole. And they think it was so big that it might have splattered enough material to reveal a deeper layer of the moon closer to the core.
I see.
And this will tell us something about its internal makeup, which we don't know a lot about.
Exposed geology we can study there.
Yeah.
I guess it's not geology, it's lunology.
Yeah, it's...
Right, because it's the moon. It's
geolunology?
Geo means earth, doesn't it?
Does it? Geocentric?
And then lunar-centric.
Geomorphic resonance? No, I don't know if it means earth. What does geo mean?
Another thing for me to Google during the break.
Yes. You can do it now.
You can do it now. I have to stay focused.
Well, okay, Mrs. Future. we'll also explore the craters looking for possibly fossils. You never know. Probably not. Most likely there's not, but there might be. So they'll be looking for stuff
clues
in the deeper rock layers.
All right. Clues in the deep layers of the moon.
Yeah. They'll be only the fourth country after U.S., Russia, and China
to actually land on the moon.
That's
successfully.
Right. Find
the
water.
The key is successfully.
Find water and see what WTF about the origins of the universe.
Looking for clues.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a little bit in the news. By the way, they have a little robot on board, a robotic rover.
Oh, rover.
And it's got six wheels. It's going to go around and it's going to look at all the different craters and see if it can find some water.
That's the go-kart.
Yeah.
The lander looks very much like the Blue Origin lander, which sort of reminds me of the old Apollo landers, right? They all have this sort of boxy shape, and
they're mostly just a big landing rocket and then something very light on top of it that looks like it's made of foil.
Yes, a form follows function in this case.
Fancy.
And that there's certain shapes that really work for landing on the moon. And we're figuring it out. And it looks like we're refiguring it out.
Right. So there's a booster rocket, and then there's a platform with the rover on top, which will roll out once the lander gets to the satellite.
Yeah, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. This is going to be a big week for Richard Branson of Virgin Galactic.
Richard Branson.
Yes.
One of the early stars. Virgin Galactic won the XPRIZE before anybody else had successfully reused any rockets that got out of the atmosphere and then came back and then were relaunched in a couple of weeks. That was the Burt Rattan.
That's right. Yeah. One of the early spaceships for carrying passengers.
Mm-hmm.
2004 began that. And it looks like he's about ready to open for business.
Oh, good.
Get a ride into space for 5 minutes for $250,000.
Space tourism, here we come.
Off we go.
Everybody says Virgin is the best airline. Let's hope it's the best space line, too.
Yeah. So he says he's going to be on the first trip.
Oh, great.
So that should be fun.
Nice.
The big news there is that he has decided to go public.
Oh.
With Virgin Galactic.
He's selling stock in space?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They announced plans to merge with a public shell company.
A public shell company. Oh, that's a catchy name.
Yes, I always go for public shells. Mm-hmm. A deal that will give the space tourism business its first stock listing.
I see. Pick a shell, any shell. Look what's underneath.
Sell
it's,
shares.
Virgin Galactic.
Sell shares, raise money.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what will they do?
Well, this might give them an advantage over their rivals.
Well, at least help them catch up.
Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin, Elon Musk, SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys, Jeff and Elon, I don't think they're as worried about money for some reason.
Well, they worried about it a lot already.
Already. They already have interest in it.
Well, so did Sir Richard. Virgin is one of the biggest brands in the world.
Yeah, you're right, Ashley. I don't think he was as rich as the other guys, though.
No, probably not. There's less money in media, which is where he made his real big successes early on. And then he got into airlines.
Yeah. So Virgin Galactic going public. He tried to raise $1 billion from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole dismemberment of journalist Jamal Khashoggi came into the story. And
he's
not as cool.
Second thoughts. It's like, don't want to send any people to Saudi Arabia. What if they said the wrong thing?
You go public and you find out the Saudis are a major investor. Would you invest?
Ooh.
Not as much, right?
Well, obviously a lot of people can look the other way. I mean, it's a big fight in Congress.
Yeah, but it's better not to have to look the other way at all.
Yeah.
So you don't want to have that to have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, right? If you're a company, otherwise you're going to have to write a lot of PR to dispel people's
You're preaching to the choir here.
Narrative about you.
I'm hoping that the strong men of the world will not be just bloodthirsty killers and that we can trust our leaders to do righteousness things. I'm so articulate today.
Well, you can just breathe. You'll be fine. Part of the transaction, the social capital and Hedo Sophia, HedoSophia, Hedo Sophia. They are investment firms that he is involved with. Part of the deal is that the Social Capital chief executive will become Virgin Galactic's chairman.
Hmm.
That deal will close by year's end.
Oh, boy. All right.
All goes well.
Sir Richard, you want to say hello to a caller?
Sure.
All right. We've got Rich in Soquel who says he has a question about black holes. All right. Here's your big chance, Rich. What you got?
you got one for us?
So my mental model of a black hole back up to 6 months ago was a spherical shape that had a spherical event horizon around it. And so when they first published those, what they claimed were images of a black hole.
Mm-hmm. From the gravity waves, from the...
Right. So I couldn't figure out why is it black in the middle if the event horizon is spherical. But then I learned that they think there's accretion disks that form. And my question is why... Is the part that's heated up that's in the image there, why is it relatively flat?
That is a good question, but, you know, there's so many things in the universe that look that way.
Like the Earth is flat, right?
Well, I wonder if it isn't just indicative of spinning bodies. You know, spinning bodies kind of have to have an axis, and then they have an equator, and maybe there's just something about the way the forces line up that makes the accretion disk form around the equator of the spinning bodies, because it can't go near the axis.
Here's the answer, according to Master Google. It says the flattened shape of the accretion disk around the black hole is due to angular momentum.
Hey, that's what I said.
Which dictates the particles' motion as they rotate around the black hole.
So is the atmosphere on Earth thicker at the equator?
Can you ask Google that too?
Yeah, we can. But I mean, if I had to guess, I would say yes. There's more air there.
Rich, we have to go to a break.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Great hearing from you. Thanks for the question.
Okay,
yeah,
bye.
Appreciate it. I guess the first word I need is just what I need.
The symptoms of PCOS, which stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome, are caused by the many cysts which produce lots of both male and female hormones. Excessive production of female hormones are associated with bad periods, sometimes no periods, bloating, weight gain, obesity, moodiness, sluggishness, while the excessive male hormones she produces can cause oily skin, acne, sometimes hair on the chest and back, thinning hair on the head. The hormones secreting cysts are themselves associated with insulin and blood sugar, and most PCOS patients have oftentimes undiagnosed pre-diabetic signs. That means PCOS needs to be first treated as a sugar processing problem. And secondly, PCOS patients who usually have underlying digestive problems are going to want to look here too. PCOS patients should focus especially on fat malabsorption, gallbladder and liver health issues, as well as the health of the intestine. Vitamin C is helpful for all hormone health issues, and you want to make sure you're getting fatty vitamins too, especially vitamins E and A. Lecithin granules with fatty meals can support fat metabolism, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to finish off all meals with a little apple cider vinegar, which can stimulate the secretion of fat digestive enzymes from the pancreas. Probiotics can be helpful, as can supplemental bile salts and digestive enzymes. Think zinc, important for balancing hormones, and selenium, which has a stabilizing effect on estrogen. Some women can get relief by using progesterone cream. Pharmacist Ben here, urging you to go to kscohealth.com to order Beyond Tangy Tangerine, the Healthy Start Pack, and other nutritional supplements that I personally use and recommend.
Hey, welcome back to the show, folks. Remember earlier in the show, we mentioned the Bereshit, the Israeli lander that did land on the moon, but at a 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, they had a little last-minute explosion.
Well, its flight will not end in vain.
Good thing.
Yeah.
Because they won an X Prize. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of good
design ideas.
Fresh design engineering, yeah.
The doomed aircraft. But, you know, the good news about these things is that the aircraft actually, it's not so much lives on the moon now, but the plans for it are in our computers over here. And all the research and design and all that kind of stuff can be replicated.
Right. The effort is not wasted.
Not at all. No. So a U.S. company called Firefly Aerospace is partnering with Israel Aerospace Industries.
I wonder if this is the origin US of that Firefly Israeli movie land. That we like so much.
Firefly? Well, right? It could be their fans, right? They want to name it. Hey, let's name our company Firefly. We're about, outer
space. We're space cowboys.
let's get some good technology. Let's buy that Israeli technology.
Yeehaw.
And see what we can do with it.
I'm ready.
So they're creating a new lunar vehicle they hope will land and rove around on the moon.
And it looks a lot like the Chandrayaan.
Well, yeah, you got to use a lot of pre-existing technology. That's a big thing today, is that we can recycle ideas. I think the Chinese have the advantage of not having to pay attention to copyright, NDAs, and that sort of thing, and just use everything. So they have a certain advantage of having that mentality compared to the Western world, where we respect these boundaries.
Well, yes, we've built our economy on the ownership of ideas, haven't we?
Not that it isn't a big legal field as people explore this. In any event, this technology has been officially sold, and we're going to see new lunar lander coming onto the field through Firefly.
Yay!
And they're going to rename it from Bereshit to Genesis.
Which is just translation. What Beersheet means in English is Genesis.
They said they're excited to partner with Israel Aerospace. They're not going to give any details about how much payload it could carry, when it will fly, but they will soon.
Hmm. They haven't figured it out yet.
No.
They've got a payload, but some of that is going to have to be gear. Some of that's going to have to be things that'll be dropped off in space.
Yeah.
It's
and
a
Firefly,
very cool design. See, here's the thing. It's got solar panels across the top. And
it's really nice, rig. And it's the lander, right? Now, what Firefly has designed previously to buying these plans for Beersheet is another vehicle. And this other vehicle they call Beta. It's a rocket. It's obviously a piece to the puzzle. You need a rocket to deliver the lander to the surface. So they've probably got that technology. Marriage of those two companies.
Boy, what a world we live in. Just
a nice
off
combination
the shelf.
Of technology.
Don't invent, purchase the company.
Yeah, and won't be long before you better go online. And if you want to rent a rover on Mars or the moon,
you just go to your computer. Cost you a few hundred mil.
Yeah, you know, look around the South Pole right now. What's to stop you? Let's use the Chinese one. I'm more interested over there. And then before long, people will create something interesting to look at on the moon if you're not into geology.
Are you saying that the moon is beyond the long reach of the law? And once people get there, they can do what they want? Was that your message?
It'll be a new freedom in media for sure. It'll be off planet, so it'll have different rules.
like whatever you can get away with. Well, the old Wild West.
That's the monkey mind speaking. Yeah, our species, we'll definitely explore the boundaries. Mm-hmm. But it's open to other possibilities too. Remember 2001: A Space Odyssey. Remember what happened on the moon?
We contacted
the monolith. they discovered the monolith there.
And the monolith sent a signal off to Jupiter and said, hey, the monkeys got off the planet. Beware.
If we start broadcasting from the moon, that could attract a larger audience. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Hear that out there? Any of you space traveling companies? Dr. Future is looking for a sponsorship.
Yeah,
we'll happily do a show from the moon.
It could be about anything that's really interesting that has to do with the solar system economy, I think, would be a good focus. Mm-hmm. The first one. Like, what kind of money should the solar system economy use?
Okay.
And that's got to be thought of beyond international, interplanetary thoughts of what interplanetary money would look like. Mm-hmm. I mean, Earth people will only come up so much with a true understanding of this. Mm-hmm. But those who actually live on other planets will have a deeper understanding of it. Ultimately, right? I mean, this is the future.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely.
Just a natural evolution of...
Before people started using money for their economy, they were using other things they had a lot of, such as food or treasures or weapons, hoards. So the form changes over time depending on what's important to people.
Food, weapons, all those things could be built with water found on the moon.
It's a starting place.
Yeah, that's a starting place for civilization.
I can't exactly see food and weapons built with water. It just conjures a big question mark in my mind.
I just think of it as basic molecules for building a civilization. You know, look at all the great cities. They're all on water.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Water's important.
Yeah. At least for our species.
Yeah, it's a good starting place.
You know, and for our technology, because we know how to use water a lot in our technology.
Right.
It can be fuel. It can.
That's right.
Be this.
Water is a great source of hydrogen and oxygen.
Yes. Yeah exactly. Very useful
Very
molecules.
Very useful molecules. We need lots of them. I like the way that you pair these citizen scientist companies like Firefly.
Yeah.
And we've got the Planetary Society and their satellite, and we've got the big guys. We've got SpaceX, and we've got Blue Origin, and we've got Virgin Galactic. And they're just all out there trying to make a dent.
It's fun seeing it evolve. And by the way, the precursor to this goes back to the Apollo days. This is going to be the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
That's right, July 20th, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, very soon.
Probably be over at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, started by astronaut Edgar Mitchell.
That's right. We're going to celebrate in style with the Noetic Sciences people who do appreciate the beauty
50th anniversary.
Getting to space.
Yeah.
The Earth without borders.
It was the great moon race between the Russians and the Americans back in the 60s and 70s and 80s even. But the first exciting goal was getting on the moon. And that the Russians, they were much more secretive. They didn't let the information out as much about what they were doing. And while NASA had put forth a very public appearance, or even the disasters were shown, that story is really the precursor to everything we're hearing about now in space exploration.
So are you talking about the documentary series, Chasing the Moon?
I think that's an excellent documentary series that just came out that tells this tale quite well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use a lot of archival footage. It's on PBS right now. It's free.
And I want to say thank you to Richard Cray for sending us the link, little heads up, so we could catch it live last night.
Yeah, Richard has a fine eye for such historical media.
Yeah.
It's called Chasing the Moon. It's on PBS. You can see it also on the PBS app. It's playing tonight on PBS stations.
And it's in this new school of documentaries that I love that go so deep into authentic historical records. This documentary is told with so many original sources from the era. There's news, there's interviews.
100 Apollo 11 archives, 100, mm-hmm. including Russian archives.
Wow. Yeah, so you really get some points of view that are going to be fresh and some new information that either was buried or that we just weren't really aware of in the historical narrative until now.
And he does get into how Kennedy was not particularly into space until Wernher von Braun showed him a test of the Saturn booster and it blew his socks off.
Boys like rockets, don't they?
Oh, my God. I'm talking about energy, pure power. These guys like that. Uh-huh. So maybe that's what they need for getting Congress excited. They need some kind of thing they can all watch. It gets them more excited about it.
Uh-huh. You don't think they watch the Falcon launches?
Not necessarily. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's kind of prosaic just to watch a rocket launch these days.
Going and watching the airplanes take off. It's not for everyone, but some people really like it.
You know what it needs? It needs digital 5.1 surround sound. It needs drones traveling up with it as it goes up into the air.
Oh, are you talking about to take pictures?
To take pictures. Should we need a new camera. We need pyro cams that can show the images of the rocket engines as they turn white hot, from the center of the fire. We want to see that point of view with the LIDAR of the rocket engines glowing.
Oh, boy.
I know we could go much further with production values.
I've been so grateful that the Falcon is so well equipped with rockets to see what's going on in real time.
That's true. Beyond the Apollo. They had this side shot of the Apollo going up and then telephoto lenses.
Right.
That would bring you in a little closer.
Yeah, those rockets mounted on the actual satellites, watching the rockets take off and land.
Now, Saturn, to their credit, did shoot those perspectives. They had the camera. They had cameras mounted to where you could watch the booster drop away.
Oh, they just couldn't do a live signal. And wait until the booster came back. They recovered the wreckage.
It took 50 years to develop that. It's getting better all the time. I would definitely recommend watching some of the SpaceX launches on YouTube if you're into this particular form of entertainment.
Or just even tonight, there's another episode of Chasing the Moon.
That's true. The documentary's on tonight if you don't have a computer. No worries.
But it's a three-part mini series with two-hour documentaries last night, tonight, and tomorrow night. And we're really enjoying it.
That's on PBS.
All right. Dr. Future and I are going to be right back.
15 more minutes of fun before
we totally change gears.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Now, I've got three stories that are connected to more of a Debbie Downer kind of topic. I'm not going to dwell too deeply in it, but I think it's important because it involves the stuff we talk about. It has to do with how the FBI, ICE are using state driver's license photos without consent for facial recognition searches.
Uh-oh.
Right, and how widespread that is becoming. There goes your privacy in terms of your DMV database.
Yes.
Well, the concern is that it gives the agencies a new layer of information on Americans and a new tool to potentially track both criminals and those who have never committed a crime.
Right. And so what actually happened is that there was some investigative journalism checking in with the DMVs in these several states that have already allowed immigrants to apply for driver's licenses so that they can drive legally, right? So that they can have a license locally. And those local DMVs were asked without warrants by ICE to turn over the databases so that they could use facial recognition to look for people who had been flagged at the border as questionable. Isn't that basically what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so without any kind of due process, all of the DMV records of all of the citizens were just turned over to the immigration people, and then they were subjected to this AI to look for criminals, any criminals that they might find.
Okay, so keep that story in your mind, and then we go over to China for a moment and think about this. There's a piece in Futurism magazine, Chinese casinos use AI facial recognition to spot suckers.
Is that a better use of facial recognition? I suppose if you can make a buck, then somehow it's all justified, huh?
It's not so much about security, because they'll make way more money spotting suckers.
Be sure and send the cocktail waitress over to that guy there. Look at the look on his face. He's going to blow a wad.
So this is the bizarre.
Now, that doesn't sound like the government doing that. That sounds like a casino owner doing that.
The point that I wanted to make about all this is that it shows you how AI is not just Big Brother anymore, right? That AI is what you buy AI like a software package
AI
and you apply it to
house.
Your,
the house rules, man.
Yeah, you buy it for to do what you want it to do. Like, what if you could have a super smart employee that watches people's behaviors?
As you say, fast, cheap, and out of control.
Yeah, exactly.
We are not dominated by just one overlord. We're dominated by gazillions of AI overlords.
Whoever wants to be, basically.
And they have to duke it out amongst themselves, and hopefully we can fly below the radar, right?
Well, or figure out how to engage in a way that's fun and helpful.
Oh, that's right. Let's remind the AIs that the reason that your humans created you is to make humanity better, like so that we can have more leisure, we can have more ease, we can have more fun, we can get things that we want faster. Like, come on, AIs, you've got a reason for being. It's about improving the quality of life. Can we put that into the algorithm?
Well, the big fear in the demon world is AI. I've heard. Yes.
You know some demons, do you?
What
do you know about demons? I'm not even sure I believe in them.
Metaphysics, my dear. Exactly. It's
more
a narrative. What's your story?
You know, scary movies.
Yeah,
but,
what was that anyway?
Well, demons are as demons do. And people, since we have free will, we can choose goodness or we can choose evil. And a lot of situations sort of test where your values line up on that question.
Well, I see usually if you believe in demons, you believe in angels. They go together.
Belief, yeah. Belief is your experience validating what you agree with others
about. In the non-dual world, they say that's two sides of the same coin.
Right. But I'm pretty much in the school of anything that has been turned into words is an invention of humans. And it expresses our spiritual experiences, but it expresses them in ways that are dramatic and self-serving and sometimes elevating certain individuals to God status in the legend that really is just wish fantasy. So
well, if you want to have new powers, which is a lot of kind of what technology is about in a way, it gives you superpowers. One of the new ones coming in is your own use of AI to create whatever you want.
Sure, yeah. And if we can all get as smart as the AIs and get them to do our bidding.
It becomes an extension of your intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm into peaceful augmentation.
There you go. Okay, so peaceful augmentation. I like the idea of getting Psyche, the asteroid, over here and turning us all into billionaires. I think that would be a worthy project for space exploration. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong to
really
involve abundance with.
Really, think that we need to put like 9 zeros on our currency?
Yeah, I think if everyone was a billionaire, we'd all be better off. Don't you think?
Well, I mean, if everyone had $1 billion of current buying power.
No, it was good for current buying power, right. You could buy a lot of stuff.
Wasn't there a Jim Carrey movie where everybody got their wishes granted at one time and then
that would be a good
one. Kind of created total chaos because people were changing their minds and people were running into other people who got their wishes and that was a violation of the wish they had because they wanted to control the other people. And,
I'm not saying there wouldn't be issues, but it's worth an experiment. Mm-hmm. A controlled experiment, perhaps.
I'm really jonesing for a much more sweet, fun, generous future. But of course, I'm a little Shirley Temple in my perspective of what's desirable. I like for people to sing and dance and
be healthy,
have fun
happy,
with people they love.
Playing with each other, no stress, hang out on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. And explore. And squelch the poison emotions that cause people to hurt each other. I really believe in venting that in safe ways that allow people to let go of it and forgive and move on. Mm. You know, forgive now, avoid the rush, live in peace. That would be the kind of reward structure that I would advocate. I would encourage us to teach our AIs to do that. Like, hey, why don't you try this new game to let go of your depression and join your local neighborhood to solve 10 local problems and make kids happy.
Very angelic AI. I like
yeah.
it. Yeah. It kind of fixes everything all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that I suppose you would pit AI. Against the demonic AIs that, you're aware of.
The demonic may represent the chaos, pulling things apart, restructuring, disintegration as opposed to integration. Another part of the cycle of energy that creates existence as we know it.
Oh.
So we put labels on it and belief systems that try to explain it, but it's actually a deep energetic of universe that's happening all the time.
Oh, okay.
That's how I understand.
So you're kind of thinking like that yeah. we could think of even things like galaxies as personified with names and a reason for being, and same thing with energies that just behave. Like, we need to think of violence as a demon, or we need praise as an angel.
I think a better metaphor would be the human body. It's more energetics that are flowing through the larger system of life.
Uh-huh.
Because a living system is, I think, better than angels and demons.
So the physical, you're talking about kind of the difference between chi and photosynthesis. Right? We've got one coming from a plant that's just worshiping the sun and turning it into sugar. We've got one that is animating matter and directing energy.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting questions that I kind of curious about. Do our scientists really have an understanding of chi force or life force or bioenergy, that sort of thing? It's kind of electric, but maybe not. It might be something else, but something alive. It's like when somebody's alive, they have a light in them, they're like a charged battery, and then when their life force leaves the body, it looks like a dried husk. It looks mm-hmm. like they left their body, literally,
right.
or someone dies.
Sure.
And so what was that force?
What's
the truth there? Can we study those things scientifically?
This is such a good segue to what's coming up in the next hour.
That's right, because we have some scientists on who actually study that stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll take our musings to another level of what do we know really about this stuff?
Mm-hmm. And so the questions of life force and whether it springs from our chemistry or whether we inhabit it as an eternal being once the chemistry is given a test tube start.
And if it's all interconnected, if it's all what these scientists say it is, what does that really mean?
And how can we play with it?
Yeah. What's the connection? To me, the map for civilization is more like the body. I think a lot about that as a metaphor. But others might think of other things. However, what do these scientists think? Do they have a metaphor for understanding evolution right now mm-hmm. that could make sense to us, that
right.
we could explain, maybe expand our belief about what is? So I'm looking forward to that.
Right. Okay, folks. So the next hour is going to be one of our favorite areas of science. It's the science of consciousness. And we've got a couple of people that have devoted their life to that. And they have a lot of attempts to study things that some people think are just complete woo-woo, but they're applying the scientific method to find out what can be known with the most sensitive of tools.
Their founder was Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell. Now, he actually walked on the moon and somehow got a different idea of what was important for him to spend the rest of his life thinking about. And that's where the ions comes from his vision he had in space on his way back to Earth.
He was filled with awe when he looked at the beauty of our planet. And he's not the only one. There's a lot of humans who get that feeling about what's possible for the future when we just look at it holistically and all connected.
Is that it? I always wondered if that was the conclusion of all this, that it's all connected. And where are we going to take that, Mrs. Future? You know, what does it really mean? I mean,
right now, we're going to connect to traffic, news, weather, just some...